We're going to spend about 10 or 15 minutes in the Word, and then we're going to look at the Word of God concerning communion and what God has shared with us in His Word about this very important event in remembering the Lord's coming and remembering Him until He come. And we'll take a few moments. But before we do that, let's turn to Matthew chapter 18. I want to read just a few verses of Scripture here. And the title of my brief message is Sanctifying Love Takes Sin Seriously. Sanctifying love takes sin seriously. I would imagine that if you were to go to the average churchgoer across America, most of them would have this impression. Well, we have grace. What are we worried about? I mean, we've got the grace of God, but whenever you read Titus chapter 2, it says that the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You think that's being concerned about sin? Absolutely. Don't ever get to thinking that grace somehow blocks out our exposure to sin. Grace teaches us that we're to live in a way that shows that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But I was reading this passage again and just looking at it, and just as a reminder that you and I are not to be stumbling blocks. A stumbling block is someone that trips up somebody else. And I'm afraid that in our carelessness sometimes in our willfulness, our arrogance, as we live in this world, that we don't think about other people very much. We only think about ourselves. And that, of course, is not the way that God wants us to live. Amen? God wants us to be concerned about others. God wants us to be concerned not only about their physical well-being, but their spiritual well-being as well. And the way I live my life before others will either be a help or it will be a what? A stumbling block. Something that will cause them to trip and stumble. And so I want us to look beginning at verse 6 in Matthew chapter 18, just a few thoughts on this passage about the seriousness of sin, because that's what was required for God to send His Son to deal with. Verse 6, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Does it say whether it's a Christian or a non-Christian there? What does it say? Woe to the man that causes, the person who causes an offense. Verse 8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast in everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Now here we go back again to the phrase that's used in verse 6. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, I pray that in these few short minutes that you would help us to open our eyes to how we're living before others. Help us, dear Father, to be encouraged by the supply of power and grace and strength to live the Christian life. But help us also to realize that when we make allowances for sin that we don't think is that big of a deal, we can cause others to stumble and to fall. And God says, I'm not going to hold you guiltless if you do that. I pray that you would teach us what your word has to say, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Rather than causing one to stumble, we ought to be edifying through sanctification. Now, what is sanctification? Well, there's two ways to look at it. First of all, God sanctifies us positionally by declaring us to be holy. But there is also the practical side in which God is making us into what He has declared us to be in Christ Jesus. He's making us into what He's declared us to be. That's what we call practical sanctification. And so as I am being sanctified, even though I've been declared to be righteous before Christ, not on my merits, but on the merits of Jesus Christ, practically, He's working every day through His Holy Spirit to make me into the one that He's declared me to be. All right? That's very important to see, because we still have the old heart. We still have the sin nature. That's not been done away yet. Until we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, we're still going to be battling selfishness, okay, personal ambition. We're going to be dealing with all those things, but we're to allow God's Holy Spirit to be working in our hearts and lives. And if we do that, we will not cause somebody else to stumble. I know people that are always pushing the envelope to take in more of the world, to take in more of the world's music, take in the world's views on all kinds of things, from dress to drinking to smoking, take in the philosophy of liberal religion. Have you ever for a moment thought that you might be increasing the size of your stumbling block to others? You think about that? In your personal pursuit of liberty, and you're taking in all these things. I've known folks that are heavy into the world, that believe they're Christians, and they are causing others around them to stumble because they look at them and they see all nothing but the world in them. They don't see Jesus Christ. This passage of Scripture speaks to that, makes it very clear what Jesus Christ wanted His disciples to know, but also wants us to know. I want you to see, first of all, in verse 7, that Jesus wants us to take sin seriously. He wants us to take it seriously. It was so serious that it required God to send His Son to die on Calvary's tree. You know, it's a horrible thing to hear of those that lose their children in warfare, those that get killed in battle, those that are killed protecting our nation, those that are killed just learning, training. I heard about a SEAL who died this past week in training. He drowned. Awful, terrible things that happen. And to have someone come and knock on your door and say, "We're so sorry to tell you this, but your son was killed in a training accident." No more Christmases. No more opportunity to say, "Hello, son, I love you." Gone. Completely. Many mothers have known what it's like to lose a child. Many fathers have felt the pain of losing a daughter or a son. But God, on purpose, sent His Son. He determined before the foundation of the world, we're told in Ephesians chapter 1, that He was going to send His Son to deal with sin because it was that serious. Now you say, "Well, we're on the other side of the cross. Jesus Christ forever took care of our sin debt." Is sin still active in the world? Yes, it is. Did the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and the Apostle John, and all these dear saints that have written passages of Scripture for us, did they say that sin was all gone, don't worry about it? No, John told us, he said, "Listen, I want you to try every spirit, whether it be of what? God." Why? Because there's evil spirits out there. There are things that we need to take seriously. We live in a very unserious world. And because the world is so unserious about dealing, I mean, who would think that defunding the police would reduce violence? That's an unserious point of view, in my opinion. Do I hear an amen? I'm just checking to see if y'all are following along with me. I hope that you don't think that that's the case. That's an unserious position. That's like saying if you grab a hot stove, you won't get burned. We know intuitively that if you touch a hot stove, it's going to burn. It's going to be hot. Now, when you come to view life through the prism of unserious thinking, you're in trouble. You're in deep trouble. And you know what happens? It filters into the church. It filters into the church because it's so prevalent in society. It filters into the minds of people. Say, we don't need to get uptight about all these things. We don't need to worry about those things. Don't take it personally. Oh yeah, we got to take it personally. God took it personally. And He sent His Son to deal with it. And He says to us, try every spirit. In other words, you take it seriously too, whether the spirit be of God or not. We need to love one another in such a way that protects and promotes holiness. That's how we love each other. Don't you want your brother or sister in Christ to live a pure and godly life? Amen. Certainly that should be the desire that we have. And when they're not, we love them enough to confront and say, now listen, we're concerned about you. You don't pat them on the back and say, God bless America. You got the freedom to do whatever you want to do. That may be in America, but that's not a biblical principle. I can't just go out and do what I want to do. Maybe I want to go shoot up with Nixie. All right? Maybe that's what I want to do. By the way, that's what a lot of people seem to want to do. Do this crazy outburst of violence and so forth. I don't know if you saw I saw it on Channel 3 News. This man in Florida had a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson. He pulls it out of his side pocket and he just holds it there. And he's driving along in a truck. And then all of a sudden, he just starts firing through his windshield. Over 12 bullets just go boom, boom, boom. He's just shooting all over the place. Bullets are going out. What's wrong with that man? He seemed calm. He seemed collected until he reached over and pulled the gun out, pulled it out, sat it there for a few moments, and then started firing through his windshield at other people. That's violence. I think everyone would say, that's not good. Amen. That's not good. That's evil. We have to call things what they are. You can't just say he was having a bad day. Don't take it personally. What if you're on the receiving end of his bullet? Are you happy then? Are you rejoicing then? No. We have to understand something here. Sin has to be taken seriously. If it's not taken seriously, then it's not taken at all. You're in a world of hurt. Always remember that sin was so awful that it required the death of God's Son. That's how awful it was. And God still feels the same way about sin. God hadn't changed His mind about sin. That's why He's going to judge the world. We've been studying in Revelation. And the judgments that are unfolded in Revelation chapter 6 are awful. A fourth of the world's population destroyed. Why? Because of their intense wickedness and hatred for God's Son, Jesus Christ. God takes sin seriously. And He expects us to do the same. Notice verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man, singular, by whom the offense cometh. Very strong language here that God uses. Woe, not only to the world that brings offenses, but for the man that brings an offense. I'll close with this thought before we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I read an article a few days ago in preparation for my message this morning in Habakkuk chapter 2, where we're talking about the proud man that sinneth because of wine. And I was reading about an article about teenagers and alcohol in Russia. Russia has the highest per capita rate of drunkenness in the world. The average person begins drinking at age 12 in Russia, and they're introduced to the alcohol by none other than their parents. There was a testimony of a young girl who was 13. She shares about her first, she said she went to a friend's house and they offered her vodka, so she had a drink. She had never had vodka before, and so she immediately was inebriated. The drunkenness led to her being raped by another boy that was in the house. And that was her introduction to the world. She went home. She told her parents what had happened to her. And the father told her, "Well, you weren't ready for vodka." That was his response to his daughter. "You weren't ready for vodka." Now, you know what that is? That's not taking sin seriously. To introduce your children to alcohol and then to tell them, "Well, you weren't ready to deal with the actions of that. And so these things are just natural." No, they're what the Bible calls sin. We've got to take sin seriously. Have you ever for a moment thought about the fact that maybe my lack of seriousness about sin is creating a stumbling block for my own children and my grandchildren? One of the things that's been impressed upon me in recent months is how important it is for me to be the right kind of granddad. I've got to be the right kind of dad, but I also have to be the right kind of granddad. I've told the Lord, "Lord, I'm not going to be one of those grandparents that spoils my grandson and then sends them home for mom and dad to deal with because I was lax and because I was making a big silly and joke out of disobedience, which I will never do." That's serious business. I'm going to be held to account for how I lived before my children and my grandchildren and the children in this school and the children in the YAC program. I'm going to be held to account. What kind of a testimony did Todd Brainerd have in this community? I want to tell you something. When you take it seriously, it's a heavy weight. It weighs on you. And then you call upon the grace of God and say, "Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need you to keep me conscious of those things that I need to be teaching and sharing to others." Because sin was so ugly and so awful and so lawless that God said, "I'm going to have to send my only begotten Son. And he's going to have to die on Calvary's tree and bear in his body the sin of all mankind, past, present, and future." That's how serious it is. Next time we're going to pick up with take your spiritual and physical purity seriously. Do you realize how many churches today are without a pastor because their pastor ran off with somebody? It's gotten to be an epidemic in America especially. It's gotten to be an epidemic. Why? Because we don't take spiritual and physical purity very seriously. We live the Hollywood style. And we, as believers, need to take it seriously. And if you want to see how serious it is, read verses 8 and 9 when you get home tonight and just let it soak in what God says. If your hand offends you, do what with it? Slap it 3 times and forget about it? Cut it off. If your foot offends you, cut it off. If your eye offends you, and by the way, offends means it triggers the trap of sin. Pluck it out. It's better to go in with one eye than with two eyes being tempted constantly. That is what the Bible says. Lord willing, we'll look at that. Father, we pray now your blessings upon this time of communion. Lord, it's a time in which we need to reflect upon our own lives to make sure that we're coming worthily before Thee in this most important event of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for our sin. And I pray, Father, that this would be a special time in our hearts to draw closer to Thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.